There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And happy Wednesday.
Oh, what a beautiful Wednesday it is.
Is it? Because I am exhausted. I'm tired. And it's all due to these 6 episodes of Love is Blind Season 8. They literally drained my energy.
Why did they do 6 episodes in the pods? Like, I think you messaged me and you're like, oh, you're going to die. There's literally all the episodes. They don't go to Mexico. And I was like, oh, that's fine. Like, it'll be fun. Like, there's going to be some interesting couples. No, like, why were we so invested in couples that didn't even make it?
Okay, I'm just going to say what most people are thinking and saying online. This season is boring. It's off to a boring start, okay? I was so bored. I'm actually tired.
Yes.
Like, my eyes were like, you know when they're like start flickering because you're like,
It was a 6-hour plus marathon, but I think it took me 9 hours because I kept falling asleep. And I was like, wait a minute. I forgot I need to rewind this.
Like, after each episode, I'd be like, okay, like, what do I want to talk about on the podcast? And I was like, I feel like I saw something, but nothing at the same time.
Yeah. And also, it's so frustrating because we get so invested in the couples, but then a majority of them didn't even make it past reveal or engagement. Majority. Yeah, it just feels like the whole square.
Oh.
Like the, yeah, like that whole love triangle, square triangle, whatever the hell.
Okay, yeah. So I was actually shocked that Alex, Madison, Mason, Meg, wait. By the way, I got all those names correct.
Yeah.
Did I?
I'm so proud of you. Yes. Okay. You did.
Wow. It took a lot of thinking. Now I'm exhausted.
And then you have like a Dave, Devin.
Daniel. And then the third Taylor of this Love is Blind franchise.
Oh, man.
And Alex, who is another. How many Alexes are in this franchise?
I have no idea.
Probably only 2. We had 1 in season 7.
Yeah, I feel like there wasn't that many Alexes. But
it just feels like we've had a lot, okay? And I feel like I've seen him in like previous seasons too. I feel like I've seen all these men sometime in my life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like they're just typical looking, but they are. Like, I could not follow these storylines because I was like, you guys are all the same in my mind.
Yeah.
All the men are the same. Same kind of mid personality.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like now that we're on season 8, we see a lot of people talking about their traumas. And it's this one was just like a lot of trauma dumping.
One person did it a lot.
Which makes sense. I get it. Like, you have to like share your story. And that's what the pods are all about, is creating that deep connection. And listen, I think we've talked about how, oh, we want to see more connections that, you know, people in the pods have, but we didn't want to see this many connections. Like, I think I'm overwhelmed.
I'm actually super disappointed that all these episodes are in the pods, and it doesn't give me a lot of faith for the next set of episodes, the ones that come out this Friday, because I was like, okay, it's so boring. You guys must not have enough content for the getaway and the hometown scenes.
Yes.
Because that's why you had so many pod episodes.
Yep. That's exactly what my thought process was too. And even watching the trailer, I was like, okay, there's a little bit of drama, but I feel like they didn't have enough for it to be like 5 episodes long. So yeah. They must have prolonged the pod scenes for that reason. But I'm kind of disappointed that they did that, because why pick this season to be the 5-year anniversary season if there wasn't enough content in the honeymoon and living together stage, you know?
Yeah.
Intrigued to see where it goes.
I'm hoping it gets juicier and like there's something we're missing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have high hopes, because why would you have 6 boring episodes? Producers and editors, they definitely knew like these are boring episodes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. It's very obvious. Like, it's just dry. There's really nothing going on. It's like very mid drama. The people that we're seeing were not connecting with, like, they're not doing much for us.
They weren't very unique characters. Not saying that everyone is not amazing, it's just like, it, again, we say this all the time, we see the same people in different fonts, and I feel like that's the exact same thing.
This season is like watching if you duplicated Deep D and I, and it was just us on a season, okay? If we didn't have like Shake, Shane, Sal and his ukulele, if it was just Deep D and I times 15 on both sides of the pods, that
this you were so right.
Yeah, it would be this season.
Yeah, because we were very wholesome when we did not give much.
Yeah.
And honestly, as crazy as our experience was, I feel like Shane and Shake did make it very interesting.
Yeah.
And watchable and like very drama filled. Whereas everyone here, besides Dave, I would say, it's because like he's a character.
It's like a female me talking to a male me. Times 10 throughout these 6 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it doesn't do anything. Like, nothing itches my brain, you know?
But I do have to say, the music in this season,
that's when you know the budget went up.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm like very intrigued to see how, you know, the weddings are, because I'm sure, like, obviously, because the budget went up, it's probably going to be beautiful. But when I heard Miley Cyrus' Wrecking Ball come on, I was like, are you joking?
Okay.
What is the budget?
I know. So I actually watched these episodes in 1.5 speed because they were so boring. And then Wrecking Ball came on, but it's at 1.5 speed.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this like a cover of Wrecking Ball, or is this actually Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
So I had to go back and watch it in normal speed. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. They actually played these like really popular songs.
Yeah. And like very recent popular songs too. I know that wasn't cheap. But the music made it really, I mean, I think that was the highlight of the season, if I'm being honest.
The budget is going up. You know, the initial scene where Nick and Vanessa Lachey like introduce themselves and like tell the participants about the experiment, mm-hmm. and you're able to see the lounge like in full.
Yes.
It's so much nicer than our season.
Beautiful.
But also, when I was going to watch episode 1, mm-hmm. I clicked on the Love is Blind like cover photo on Netflix, and it actually took me to episode 1 of season 1. So that episode started playing.
Kind of showed you, yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. what a difference in just production quality, the lounge set, the pods, everything.
Yes. And did you notice even with the reveals how they had that lounge set up with the champagne and the fireplace? Like, it was so beautifully done. I was like, okay, they are definitely upping the game.
Which I totally get. I guess they totally have to like, you know, progress.
Yes.
But I did watch a little bit of episode 1 of season 1. Yeah. And while I was like, while it was playing, I was like, let me just watch a little bit. Guys, it will make you so touched. Like, it kind of brought me back why people fell in love with this show. Yeah. It is so much more authentic.
Yes.
I don't know if it's like the editing or what, but mm-hmm. I think it's also because the participants in season 1, they weren't sure if they were going to continue being filmed even if they didn't get engaged. Like, even Haseeb from our season, he was on this podcast for an interview. He said he didn't know if like non-engaged people also continued filming. So like, everyone was very much themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually also so interesting because, you know how I went on the Canadian like little book tour this past week? A lot of people that I talked to, especially in Toronto, apparently Love is Blind is coming to Toronto and they're like casting. And so some of the people asked me like, hey, like, what advice would you give? And I was like, maybe don't do it, because I told them the same thing. Like, season 1 is the purest season. They had no idea what was going to happen. And even in on our season, you could tell like there were some people there for the wrong reasons. And so you're going to see that, like, I don't know, people who are not as authentic as the seasons go on. So I was like, I would be cautious going on it. It's not what it used to be in season 1.
Especially because now people know you have to get engaged to get ample screen time and to like continue on the show. I feel like you really see it in this season, though, where men will have multiple connections and choose the one. It just happens that way because, you know, one person chooses someone else. Like, yeah. They love having backups.
Yes.
It's almost like, to make sure they get engaged.
Yeah. They want a guarantee to make it to the next stage.
It's so
especially
obvious.
Certain people. And we'll get into that because we've seen TikToks. I mean, TikToks are hard because some people are very, like, much liars when it comes to content. But then there's some who are like, no, this is not a lie. Like, this actually happened in Minneapolis. And I feel like we're seeing a lot of that. Because there's just a bunch of stuff coming out about the men. And we've talked about it on a past episode. Okay, but tell me what your first impressions are. Like, who did you like right off the bat? Who were you, like, very skeptical about?
I really liked Britt right off the bat. But clearly, we're not going to see much of her again. So that's irrelevant at this point. I can't really tell you who I like because none of these people are sticking. Actually, let me pause there. I love Alex.
I also love Alex. I feel like Alex did surprise me the most because he wasn't bullshitting. Like, you know, he really wanted to be there for the right reasons because he could have easily said yes to Madison and they progressed and, you know, he gets more screen time or gets more fame. But I feel like he was in it for the right reasons. And that's very hard to see in season 8 of Love is Blind.
And so. Look. The reason why I really like Alex is he's very aware of attachment styles. And I know a lot of people don't know a lot about it. I just learned about attachment styles when I was in that relationship with New York boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like that he's super aware. I think that would make him a really good partner. I feel like when people are really aware of their attachment styles, whether you're secure, a dismissive, avoidant, anxious, like, it allows you to be a better partner because you're, like, aware of your actions.
Yeah. And I think it's not even just being aware of your actions, too. It's, like, before you even get into a relationship. And that's what we see with Alex and Madison. He's like, wait a minute. There's red flags here. Like, if I am this type of attachment style and she's the opposite, we know we're not going to be compatible and there's going to be issues. So I think it takes a lot of strength for someone to be like, okay, I'm noticing that we are probably not compatible in a relationship. And so I'm not going to move forward with it. I think that takes a lot of strength versus just like knowing. Because I feel like I know my attachment style really well. But even if my crush or who I'm interested in has a different attachment style, I know it won't work. I'm still like, well, I still have a crush on you. So we're still going to talk, you know?
Oh,
so it
no.
takes a lot of growth.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like now I'm in a place where I would never do that. But previous relationships, I was like, I don't care. You know, you never put much thought into it.
Oh, I know. I had no idea what they were until, you know, New York boy ended up being a dismissive avoidant. And I was starting to lean anxious in that relationship. Mm-hmm. I typically lean secure. And I was like, okay, like, why? What is happening? So anyways, that's how I found a lot about it.
Actually, but that's a really good point, too, is like your attachment style changes based on the person that you're with, too. I find that a lot.
I need to ask you, who are your favorites?
What a great question, because I'm very disappointed. I honestly, right off the bat, I really did like Madison because
same.
I thought she was very mature. She was very like self-aware and like expressed her thoughts really well. And I thought-
And like didn't hold back. Like she's like, this is who I am. Right. This is all of me. This is what I've been through. I really liked that in the beginning.
I really liked her. And then it just took a turn. Like I think episode four or five.
I know.
And I was like, damn it. I had so much faith. Which it just like kind of goes to show you like- First impressions are one thing, but when you start to really see more of that person, like no one's perfect, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I know I felt the same way about her. I really liked her after episode one. And then by the end, I was like, Madison, like, what are you saying?
Yeah. And also, my God, we have to talk about Dave. David.
Dave is the villain of the season.
Absolutely. The way they set him up, you know he's being edited to be the villain.
No, for sure. Like, especially when he's repeating the same really mean joke to all the women where he's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you in this experiment?
Yes. And also the fact that he called Lauren old. I'm pretty sure at least I clocked it 3 times and she still moved forward.
I have other.
I was like, what's happening?
I have some opinions about Lauren, but we'll get into it later.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dave, he reminds me of like the typical shallow but also insecure man
yep.
who at the same time thinks very highly of themselves.
Well, what I did appreciate about Dave was that he was very open and honest about where he stands. He was like, I'm coming into this experiment, like, not knowing if looks don't matter, you know, because he's like, I'm surrounded by filler and Botox and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, okay, at least he like understands. But why would casting pick him? If
like
they knew.
Chose Sheik.
Yes.
Casting loves choosing problematic men.
Yes. Okay. And I do have to say, it does make for an interesting TV show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because without Dave, like, what would this TV show be?
What are we going to focus on, Alex?
Yeah.
And
he
Ben?
Was my only entertainment. I'm like, listen, I love a self-aware king, but it doesn't make for good TV.
No. Dave just...
He's a unique character. I had some faith in him a little bit because he was very honest. But at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, there's so many red flags.
I kind of feel bad for Dave, though, just because of the editing, like not because of his personality or character, mm-hmm. but because like the compilations of him saying the same thing to the women, like, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this experiment? He's not the only man who has done that. Yeah. Like, that is very common in the pods, yes. where, especially on the first day when you're going on 15 dates, so you're dating everybody, men and women will like repeat the same lines or the same joke mm-hmm. to pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
Someone did that. Actually, two people did
well,
that.
Well, it was also giving very much like, can I pick you up on my shoulders True. Energy? And I was like, oh no. And I think it was his like icebreaker moment. So I don't fault him too much, but I think he went with the wrong icebreaker.
Yeah.
Because, sir, you're also on the same TV show. So what's wrong with you? So maybe that's why he thought it was okay, but
I think he was
they
just
did him dirty.
I think he was just trying to be fun.
Yeah.
And I have a very dry, shall I say, mean sense of humor. I get that joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was the comment that he made to Lauren being like, oh, so you're no longer attractive. That's where I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, who do you think you are?
And honestly, I thought Lauren would walk out right then and
Same.
There. And I think she made a joke about it. But I'm like, no, girl, why didn't you walk out? But she ended up with him. So that's... crazy to me.
Look, I don't want to be too judgy because there's a lot of things Shane said to me on the show and people are like, why didn't you walk?
Yeah.
And I stayed.
And I think.
But here's the thing. It's because our pod dates are so long. So yeah, that's one comment.
Yeah.
But they might have had really good conversation for that 6-hour pod date.
Yes, exactly.
So it's just like one blip in this 6-hour conversation.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say too, is I think like us being in their shoes, we know how it feels to go on all those dates and spend so much time with somebody. And you do really like get deep feelings for that person.
Yeah.
And sometimes, yeah, they say things that are off-putting. Like Sheik said a lot of things that I was like, wait a minute, like I should be questioning this. But then it's like,
you're in a bubble.
Yeah. And the good things kind of outweigh the small little tiny bad red flags, you know, and you're like, wait a minute, like I think we can have an honest conversation about this. So it's like we're not very judgy. It's just funny to see it. And like, I love that we can recap it just based on how the edit was on
the
show. So it's been interesting.
Also, too, I know that there's that whole compilation of Dave having sex talk.
Yes.
I felt really bad, though, mm-hmm. because that's a day in the pods. Remember on day 3 or 4, it's like a sex talk day.
Yes.
And so it sucks that they only showed him mm-hmm. and, you know, Madison at times like talking about it, but it's like a real day where you're supposed to talk about like your sexual preferences.
Yep.
I never did. I was like, we're not talking about it. But pretty much, I mean, I would say aside from myself, everyone else talked about like I think the questions we got in our notebook was like, what's your favorite sex position? How many times do you like it per day or week? And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I don't remember the specific questions, but I did see one TikTok about this season where in the notebook at the very end, you know how we have questions listed out?
Yeah.
They thought that that was scripted and like
those are scripts
that people say, and it's not. I just wanted to clarify that. They're just like suggestive questions that you can ask, and every single day they change. So yeah, like you said, there was the sex day. And I actually talked about it, which is so funny. You wouldn't think that I would, but I actually did.
But yeah, no, they ask like really deep questions like, do you have a sex playlist? Are you into BDSM? So like, even though it makes Dave look gross, him talking about sex, because I've seen the backlash he's getting online for it, just being like, what the heck? Like, he's so sexual and just like icky. It is a day in the pods where you have to talk about it. And I feel like the reason why he was talking about it so deeply and they were trying to be all like flirty and sexy as they're talking about it is because it was on a sex day.
Yeah. And I also think that the way they edited the show, they kind of make it seem like Dave and Molly have a very like physical connection or like a sexual one versus Dave and Lauren, who are more deep and like it's more of like an emotional connection.
Yeah.
And how he was like really struggling between the two because Lauren was scaring him because it might be real. So I think they were really playing into that, but I'm sure Molly and Dave have had other conversations, yeah, not around sex. They just highlighted that a lot.
They do that on the seasons to create like a storyline of, mm-hmm, like this is more of a fun connection and this is more emotional one. Actually, they did it with me and Shane and Shayna and Shane.
Yes.
And the crazy thing is I remember watching her season and they really highlighted the fact that Shane would ask Shayna, like, what are you wearing? Like, they had very sexual conversations, which they did compared to me and Shane's. But Shane also asked most of the women, including myself, every day, oh, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
And it's, I'd so say weird a crop to say top, and he'd be like, oh, like he would react, yeah, the same way.
I hate to say it, but yeah, me and Shane definitely have had a date where we've talked about it. That's so weird to,
yeah,
say.
Like, I know you guys talked about
it's
sex.
It's so weird. Yeah.
But it could be editing where editors are just trying to show, like, I don't know, him and Molly aren't as serious.
Yes, absolutely. It's all editing. And oh my gosh, I still can't believe how boring these episodes were. Holy crap.
I know.
Okay, talking about Dave and Molly, though, they did Molly so dirty in this set of episodes. Just
you think?
Because, like, they didn't even let her really talk. I feel like most of the conversation is Dave talking and her being like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, do you have a thought? And I'm sure she did. They just didn't put many of them in.
I actually really liked Molly throughout these episodes. I feel like they just highlighted Dave more, like when it, yeah, came to speaking, because he says such dumb shit.
Yeah, he's
and they're like, we gotta make this more like exciting with what we have.
And I hate to say it, but oh my god, there's so much evidence that Dave is a liar. When he,
I know,
he literally told Molly that she was his number one. They were talking about engagement rings, and then he blatantly lied to Lauren and was like, no, I never said that. There's literal evidence,
sir. We just saw you say that to Molly in 4K.
Yeah.
And you're telling Lauren you didn't say it?
Oh boy. And Lauren, okay, you know she had the intuition because she said it out loud. She was like, oh, like either he's really good at manipulating or someone's lying. No, he was really good at manipulating.
Yeah.
And I wish she saw the red flag. Like, I'm telling you, man, it's so hard in the pods to go with your intuition because you almost gaslight yourself.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, did that happen?
And or, like, producers are telling you something different.
Yes.
And then like you really want to get engaged and want to believe someone's your person because you develop strong feelings for someone without ever seeing them. So you're like, oh my God, this experiment is working. And you just really want it to,
yes,
work. And you're sleep deprived.
Yes.
So it's just, it's a lot. Like, like we could judge them on the screen, obviously, because we were just watching for fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember when we were in their shoes and, yep, we're like, okay, yeah, you want to be like, this guy has red flags.
Yes.
But our men had red flags and we're still like, yes, yeah, of course I'll, yeah, marry you.
I was like, I love you. I think when Dave started crying in the pods, I was like, oh no, I think this man is very sleep deprived.
I know.
And I was like, oh yeah, they're getting to that stage in the pods where, yeah, it's just tough to keep going.
You could tell, like, you could tell when they're in that like sleep deprived, mm-hmm, stage, their like speech gets a little bit slower. You could tell they've lost all their energy, they don't know what to say anymore, everyone starts crying, and I was like, yeah, you're, yep, only getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep at this point.
Yep.
And you're probably on day like 8, 9, 10.
Which, okay, that was like a tough thing in these episodes because everything blurred in so much.
I know. And like, they like skipped scenes a lot,
yes,
too. So like something that happened, you could tell in like day 7 was,
yeah,
played in the beginning.
And it was hard to kind of put things in chronological order in my head because I'm like, at what stage are you in? And obviously they always do this thing where the first couple that they know are going to definitely get engaged, they'll like do their reveal first and get,
yeah,
it out of the way. But
Monica and Joey,
which they're like golden retrievers together. I've never seen a woman golden retriever, but that is Monica.
I love you. Monica. Yeah.
She's so cute. But
so cute.
Unfortunately, there's not like a lot to remember though with that couple because they didn't get much airtime.
No, I think they got engaged in episode 2 and then the beginning of episode 3 was their reveal and we never saw them again.
Yeah, I like, completely forgot
about
them.
It's like the editors were like, okay, get them out of the way.
Yes, until then, the trailer.
And then we see Ben and Sarah like, oh, midway through these episodes and I was like, who are they?
I know. I think
I was like, is that Taylor? I was like, who? When they came up, I was like, which man is this? I was like, is that Dave, Daniel, or Alex?
I think they introed them in episode 2 and I was like, who are these new characters?
I know, they just popped out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Oh, what an interesting couple they are too.
So Podbesties, remember when we talked about how this famous TikToker made a TikTok video that's supposedly about Ben, him being a big player in Minnesota, him having a history of treating women badly and talking negatively about women. I was shocked knowing that's the guy.
It makes sense to me. Honestly, because I feel like every time he got asked a question, he deflected the answer.
Oh, he has strong opinions.
He does. He just didn't share them. In my opinion, I really think he just wanted to avoid conflict because he wanted to move further in the whole process. I hate to say it. It just seems like he wants fame. So he's going to say anything to kind of just further his relationship and the pods. I feel like Sarah is such a socially conscious person and I absolutely loved her. And she was very outspoken about the way she feels and her values. And I think he didn't want to rock the boat. I really think Ben was just calculated in the way that he was speaking to her.
I totally get that. For some reason, because he's not getting a bad edit in these first sets of episodes, like I couldn't pick up like, oh, is he this bad guy that social media is saying he is? Mm-hmm. But then I forgot that there's also allegations that he is like really thirsty for fame. Like yes. Women across Minnesota who have dated Ben or just like know him, they're like, no, this guy wants to be famous.
I mean,
and I was like, okay, that makes sense. Yes. Your theory makes total sense.
I had that in the back of my mind going into watching him, but also the fact that he has little cards of his YouTube channel that he hands out to women after he hooks up with them is wild to me.
That's crazy.
If that doesn't scream I want to be famous, I don't know.
We should do that for Out of the Pods. Everyone I meet, I'm just gonna sprinkle them on the ground.
Could you imagine? We just put it all over our apartment lobby.
Like, doesn't that give you the ick? The fact that he took the time to create these YouTube business cards for people to subscribe to his channel.
That means he like, put intention into that thought. Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, he went to go design that business card that said subscribe to my YouTube channel.
And Love is Blind casting was like, yep, we're going to take him onto our season.
Look, I'm telling you, if you want to be on the cast of Love is Blind now, you better have a clean ass record.
Yes.
You better not have any skeletons in your closet.
And, you know, I think we're getting to the point where some of these contestants don't give a shit. Even if they have a background, they're like, eh, whatever, I'd rather be on it and go through it than not. But until you're in the thick of it, you don't understand how much that actually impacts you. Because I'm sure it's hitting him hard that all these women are coming out saying shit against him.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. And also, according to the trailer for this season, they're going to talk about that TikTok at some point during the show. So I'm sure he's like, oh, what the heck? But you know what? Wait. I think it's less they don't give a shit. I think they're so confident that they'll be able to like make it go away somehow.
Which is crazy to me because like, have you not seen the other seasons? There's literally so many people that have been outed.
Totally. But I feel like it's how we felt when we watched season one before filming season two, where we're like, we could never get that sort of negative edit. Like, or we could never be the villain. Like everyone thinks like they can't be the villain.
You have high expectations and high hopes that you're not going to be portrayed negatively, but you just never
Because you're like, oh, I'm not a villain.
Yeah.
And then,
but it's funny because some of those people should be thinking, I am the villain. I hope I don't get it edited that way.
Yeah.
Or they just lack the self-awareness to know that their actions are kind of wild.
No, I think it's the lack of self-awareness.
You're right. I think it is the lack of self-awareness.
One thing I'll say about Sarah is politics is so divisive here in the US. And so we know that like Sarah leaning liberal, like not all viewers are liberal and she risks getting backlash from like more conservative viewers. So I was very proud like when she was talking because I was like, okay, she's sticking up for what she morally and politically believes in.
Yeah.
But I was like, if you feel so strongly, why are you okay with Ben like not having any opinion?
Yeah. And it's difficult because I don't know if it's editing and they took out certain pieces of their conversation where he kind of proves it more to her. But based on what we saw on screen, it seems like he was so dismissive of her feelings towards all of these social issues that she cares so much about. And he didn't even say the word LGBTQ. Did you notice that? He was just like, I don't have anything to say about that community.
Yes.
So he was very avoidant. And basically threw in like a little phrase there that was like, oh, like, you know, I'm willing to grow. It's not your responsibility to show me the way. So yeah, you're right. I kind of was disappointed with Sarah too, yeah. Because how did you believe him? And that comes back to when feelings are strong, you want to make it work. So you're like,
in those pots, man, there's some magic little witchery happening in those pots.
Definitely some sorcery happening. So we understand.
You overlook everything in those pots.
Yeah.
But that was the only thing, because I was like, okay, like what she said, yes, admirable, but was it performative?
Yeah. And, you know, it is going to be interesting to see where it goes, yeah, when they go back to honeymoon, because you know that that's going to be a big issue.
Yeah. I really like Sarah, but that's the only thing that kind of bugged me about her connection with Ben is like, why are you overlooking this, yeah, if you feel so strongly about something morally?
And you know what's also interesting is it's so easy in the pods, and we talk about this all the time, to be a version of yourself that you think will match the other person. Like, for example, even when they talked about going to church, because Ben goes to church every week, right? And she was like, yeah, like if we find the right church, I could do that. And it sounds so easy to do in theory and talk about, but putting it into action is so hard.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, I always think about that. And I'm like, I feel like I probably did the same in the pods a little
same,
bit,
where
I'm like, oh yeah, like I can overlook that quality. I think it'll be fine. We can work through it. But in reality, it is really tough to change core values. And
yes,
like going to church every single week when you never go to church is, that's a big commitment.
Yeah. You're totally right though about that happening in the pods, where like things that are big compatibility issues, yeah, you just, it's easy to oversee them because, yes, you just want it.
Yes.
You're either just desperate for this experiment to work for you, to find love, or everything feels so exciting that you're willing to just like, you know, like get through the process to see like, is this my person?
Yeah. And you're willing to compromise a lot more than you would in the real world.
Yeah. And then people are putting their best foot forward. And so you're getting the best version of someone.
Yes. Or their spoken version of
their
someone.
Spoken,
you know what I mean?
You know, and there's like lies, exaggerations.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of see that with Dave. Like he says some things that you're like, you don't truly mean that. Same with Madison. She'll say some things being like, oh, I'm not like that. And it's like, no, you are.
Oh,
you definitely
boy.
Are. Like, yeah, you are not going to change Madison, which is fine. But it's, yeah, like, yeah, it's like people are just like, no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just like, yeah, you overlook so many things and it's so hard to, I don't know, man. It's so hard to like judge people because you want to be compassionate and you also just like not win the experiment, but you want to find love so badly that you're like, eh, it's okay if they don't have one little quality,
yeah,
about them that I don't like.
I kind of felt like Lauren also overlooked a lot of things that Dave was saying and like her gut feeling. Mm-hmm. Okay, how do you feel about Lauren though? I need to know.
Okay, I like her. I think she seems like a sweet girl, but I do have to say, I think it was a little odd for me that she was so mad at Molly.
Yes.
Because Molly is being very open about who she's connecting with. And she may have been a little bit over the top with it, saying, you know, Dave is my number one, he's gonna be my husband, all these things. But Lauren kept the secret of who she's talking to. So she can't really fault Molly for talking about her connection in front of everyone in the lounge. I think she kind of like retracted and like, I don't know, very much like got reserved, I guess, in the women's lounge. And she was like holding on to a lot of feelings when it came to Dave. But I don't think that that's Molly's fault.
No, I totally agree. I actually thought Lauren was low-key being manipulative during these episodes, where, you know, she is not saying anything to Molly. She's the one asking Molly questions.
True.
And then she's throwing Molly under the bus in her dates with Dave. And I don't know. So that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I'm not going to like judge her too much just yet, because it's the whole thing in the pods. Like, we got to see her actions like outside of this.
Yeah.
I also felt like I didn't like that conversation that she had with Dave, where she's kind of pushing Dave to choose, which totally makes sense. They're, mm-hmm, probably like later in the process.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can't be stringing both girls. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, the only reason I feel like Dave was keeping Molly and Lauren around is he's like, okay, who's going to be my choice? I need two choices to make sure I get engaged and make it to the next round.
Yeah.
100%, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But I felt like in that conversation with Dave of, okay, make a choice. Why do you have this connection with Molly, type of thing? I don't know. I was like, why are you comparing yourself to Molly?
I agree. I think like Lauren didn't handle that situation very well. And I kind of felt it in the women's lounge. I was like, okay, she can't be upset about the situation when she's not being forthcoming with any of the information. I feel like Molly would have adjusted her behavior and what she said out loud to certain people if she had known that Lauren was the other connection that Dave was having. But emotions are very high and Dave was probably love bombing both of them hardcore. So it's kind of, puts you in this competitive state with somebody else and you start to like really feel insecure in your connection.
Yeah.
So when she was hearing Molly say things so confidently, she was like, wait a minute, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
So I kind of give her a little bit of grace, but I agree. I think if we were in her position, we would have acted a little bit differently.
No, we were in her position. Remember when True. You and I had a connection with Shane?
Yes.
And I remember Shane made you cry at some point. So mm-hmm. I went up to you and I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that you also had a connection with Shane.
Yes.
And you told me, mm-hmm. and I go, do you mind if I bring it up to Shane?
Yeah.
And if you said no, I would have never brought it up to Shane.
True.
You know what I'm saying? But you were like, yes, like I'm done with him. Like you could bring it up to get your clarity. And I feel like Lauren should have done that to Molly instead of sitting there acting like she doesn't have a connection with Dave, mm-hmm. letting Molly speak and then using that to like throw Molly under the bus. And I was all like, Lauren, you're really immature. That sucks. Like, why would you do that to someone you're pretending to be a friend to in the lounge?
Right.
Like, and we were in that position. You asked for permission.
You're totally right, actually. I always forget that we did have that conversation. Yeah. It was very open and honest. And it wasn't like we were being competitive or fighting with each other. It's like, okay, is this man for real or is he not? Let's actually talk about it, because this is an engagement and this is like a real life scenario, real feelings. So it was a tough thing. I agree with that. And because she was kind of projecting. Lauren was a little bit projecting too, saying, oh, is Molly being manipulative by talking about it? No, I think you're right. Like, she was kind of being the one, intended or not, a little bit manipulative because she wasn't sharing any information about her connection.
I feel like a real girl's girl, when you look out for other girls, you like don't just talk shit and mm-hmm. like get involved in someone's relationship, even if you're dating the same person in the pods. And so like, again, going back to the situation between the two of us, like if you said no, please don't tell Shane. I want to still pursue that. I'm not saying shit.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's so
like
true.
The right way to do things. And like, Lauren knows exactly what she was doing. Yeah. She brought up Molly's name because she wanted Molly to look bad in the eyes of Dave and also get like the clarity she needed. But what pissed me off the most is when Dave hears this, he's like, oh, this is the last thing I wanted. Like, I don't want to be part of girl drama.
Oh my God, I died when he said that.
I was like, girl drama? You caused all this drama.
I know. I actually freaked out when he said that. I was like, is this man for real? Such a gaslighter. He's such a gaslighter.
That was wild to me. I was like, I cannot believe he thinks this is girl drama. Like, Dave, you caused this because you are telling two women near the same thing and confusing them. You're leading them on.
Yeah. And I do have to say, I did love Lauren in these instances when he did say that. She stuck up for herself and was like, this is not girl drama. Like, this is something that is created because of you. I don't know if she said that exactly, but she was very forthcoming with that and actually like called him out on it, which I appreciated. She wasn't like, I don't know, she wasn't like a pushover in certain instances, which I appreciated that.
Yeah, but like, I have like a love-hate relationship with Lauren.
Yeah, she's like a, I think she's like learning more about how the women's lounge and different connections also play such a big factor in finding your person too. Totally. You know what I mean? It's like the dynamics are very much complicated. And then they had that final conversation, which I felt like Lauren seemed so happy because obviously Molly was upset.
And she's like, what did he say?
I know. That was crazy to me because it just felt like, oh, all of a sudden now that she knows that her relationship with Dave is secured, that she's able to have this honest, open conversation with Molly all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And that felt really rough for me.
I know.
It was hard watch.
Molly apologizing, being like, I would have never said anything if like I knew you had a connection with Dave. And Lauren's like, how did it end? Like, what did you say? Or something along those lines. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, here she goes again, trying to get more information for her own benefit to make herself feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's the vibe I got too, because she all of a sudden felt really like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be open and honest now. And I feel so happy. You know, you could tell that she was kind of happy about that situation, which sucks for Molly. I feel bad for her because I think Dave did very much lead her on, and all of a sudden, like, you know, it all ended. And it sucks because she was so vocal about it in the women's lounge. And she's like, no, he's going to break up with her and he's going to like choose me, or like, he's my husband. You know, she was being very vocal to the other girls. So I'm sure she was a little bit embarrassed.
No, crazy. I totally get it. Going back to Dave, one thing that he does that I feel like is such a tactic in the pods, something that you and I have seen and experienced, he'll say things along with Madison where it makes the other person think that they're really good looking. Like Dave goes like, oh, like, you know, women come up to me at the bar or something like that.
When he's
at bachelor parties. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Dave wants the women to know like he's good looking. And I feel like that stems from insecurity.
I agree. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Like it kind of shows he's super insecure. Yep. Like he knows he can't rely just on his very mid personality to get any of these girls. And I feel like when you hear that, it gives the other person like this sense of relief, like, oh, I'm not dating someone who's like, I don't know, I'm not gonna be physically attracted to you.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely does that. And Madison does that so much too.
Yes.
Oh my God, where she's talking about the Halloween outfits and she's like, I'm wearing a mini skirt and like a micro mini whatever. And she's talking sexually also.
Yeah.
And I think that is very confusing sometimes to the people that you're talking to, because lust is a thing, especially with men. Like if they feel like they have a sexual connection with you, I think it progresses you in this process versus having like a platonic relationship where there's a lot of interest, which we see with Mason, Meg, and Madison. I think that's literally what their vibe is.
Totally.
And oh my gosh, the cream pie.
That was gross.
I was, yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is too explicit for me.
Yeah, 100%. Madison also makes a comment where she goes, people think I'm just like a pretty girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, you said that on purpose. I know exactly why you said that. Again, I think men and women assume like you would only say that about yourself if you knew you were like really pretty or conventionally attractive.
Yeah.
So I feel like she dropped that comment because she wanted to be like, I'm pretty.
I know. It was such a cop-out.
I want you guys to know because you can't see me.
Yeah. It was absolutely a cop-out to almost be the number one choice for both men. I think she finds that very validating. And it sucks because I really liked Madison. And I'm not saying I still don't. It just, I think you see more of their true colors or their tactics that they're using to kind of progress. And it kind of made me really upset for Mason.
Same.
Because she led him on to think that, you know, he was so high up for her and talking to her again in that sexual way. But then like cringing when he validated that she was his number one person. I was like, wait a goddamn minute. Isn't this what you wanted? And then to kind of throw him away like that, I think was kind of messy. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it was kind of weird when she said to Mason during their breakup scene that he wanted to have two things going at once. And I was like, you had two guys too, Madison. Like, what are you talking about?
I know, it was so hypocritical and I definitely didn't understand. This is where Madison took a turn for me. I was like, no, I had such high hopes for you. Don't do this.
I just feel like she kind of lacks compassion and maturity. She kind of reminds me of like a Euphoria character. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like her personality, the way she dresses, just everything.
Yeah.
She gives like a no fucks attitude, which is fine. But I think it's not fine when you're kind of like playing with other people's feelings.
Yeah.
Not saying maybe she intentionally did that, but I feel like she just, I don't want to say it's like manipulative, but it kind of is. Like
it comes off that way for sure, especially when she knows. And she even said this. She was like, oh, like I do have another strong connection. And, you know, if I go with that person, then we can all be happy. Like kind of saying Meg can also find her person. But I felt like she was very involved in the relationship between Mason and Meg too.
Totally.
Like talking to Meg about certain things that kind of steered her in a different direction when it came to Mason. Personally, I love Meg. I think she is very high energy.
Totally.
And
doesn't she look like Chelsea from season 4?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
When she came up on my screen, I was like, did Chelsea cast her? Like, is this Chelsea's cousin?
I'm dead. Yeah. I think Mason.
Same, like, there's like cute, like very like pretty.
Yeah, they were like very, I don't know. I really liked Meg with Mason. And I thought they had so many similarities and they connected on a lot of topics, like whether that be aliens or conspiracy theories, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you can tell that the relationship between Mason and Meg, it seemed very platonic and friend-like. Like even when they were talking about sexual things, there wasn't like that chemistry that you see with Madison and Mason. I think comparing the two relationships, you didn't see as much romance in Mason and Meg than you did Madison and Mason.
I don't know how I feel about Mason. Like, again, he didn't give me much. Like, I'm thinking about this. I was like, do I have an opinion about Mason? I really don't. But I will say I feel like Meg made the right choice by breaking it off with Mason, even though Mason's like, I didn't mean what I said to Madison. But I was like, you still said it. And how much could your mind change after one day, you know?
I know.
So I have a lot of respect for Meg because she broke it off knowing that breaking it off meant she's not going to continue on the process. Mm-hmm. So she decided, I'm not going to take the chance. I want someone who's all in on me. I'm not going to just like get engaged and just see how it goes, because a lot of people do that. I mean, yes. I did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, you're totally right, though. I think it's so easy to make the easy choice and just be like, you know what? I'm going to see it through and see what happens. We're so similar. But she stood her ground and was like, you know what? Absolutely not. Like, I do not want to be a second choice. And it's ruined for me now.
Yeah.
And it absolutely sucks because I feel like Madison kind of pushed Mason to make a decision in the moment. And obviously, like Mason says, it's going to be the biggest regret of his life. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Is it the biggest regret of his life because he doesn't get to get more screen time?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Either it's that or that he doesn't have the connection with Meg, but it could be a little bit of both if I'm being honest.
This is the downside of the pods now, especially in these later seasons, is it becomes an elimination game because people just want to make it through the process.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not solely for screen time, but it gets super exciting, right? Mm-hmm. To have like cameras around you, to be mic'd up, and you're just like, you know, I'm excited to like get my family involved in filming and my friends involved in filming.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's his biggest regret. But is it his regret because he lost both women when he was trying to keep both women?
Yeah.
And try to get engaged to one of
them. Yeah. The energy is very much also like you become friends with the people in the women's lounge and the men's lounge too. Yeah. And you want to kind of progress together. But that's why it was so refreshing to see Meg and Alex make the decisions that they made and to kind of, dare I say, choose themselves.
Do you think Alex also chose himself?
Okay, let's talk about Alex and Madison.
My boyfriend.
Okay, so a new relationship might be brewing. Reach out, Alex.
No, guys.
Oh, no, you did the exact same thing Madison did to Mason.
I know the bar is low, but Alex was definitely my favorite man in these sets of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that rubbed me the wrong way is when Alex found out that Madison was going to break up with Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into the lounge and he's celebrating about how he has a girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
knowing Mason is the other guy who's about to get broken up with.
I wonder what the dynamic was in the men's lounge when that happened, because after that, you also see Mason coming and hugging him and being like, oh my God, like, congratulations.
But
like,
Mason didn't know that Alex was dating Madison.
I think by then he knew.
He didn't know.
Okay, by then I thought he knew. But yeah, that was a little sus. And also, okay, I wanted to know your thoughts about the whole breakup between Alex and Madison and how Alex was saying, you know, I feel like I understand the perspective of Mason and why he did what he did, and kind of not validating Madison's feelings. Like, how did you feel about that whole situation?
I thought it was fine. I don't think he has to validate her feelings. I get why she was frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like because you develop friendships with people in the lounge, so like how we developed relationships with the other women, the men developed relationships with the other men,
mm-hmm.
and the men developed friendships with the other men. He was in this place of, Mason is my friend.
Yeah.
I also think he's a good guy, and I'm not going to toss him under the bus on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to play like the, I'm going to have your back and his.
Yeah. And honestly, okay, I do get why Madison would be frustrated, because you want your partner to validate your feelings and kind of be on your side and not tell you, oh, it's going to be okay. Like, don't worry. This is why this happened. And instead, they kind of want to just wallow in that feeling and be like, no, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
And you almost want to give them the opportunity and the space to feel those feelings without being, you know, toxic positive, whatever. But I really think that I'm on Alex's side with this too, because you're right. Like, you develop such close bonds with the people in the lounges too, apart from your, you know, connection, that you see all of the perspectives. And I thought Alex kind of handled it really well. And I also think Alex had it in the back of his mind that Madison might not be right for him.
Yeah.
After like talking about the attachment styles and her kind of like working herself up about the whole, you know, square love triangle situation, that I think he came into that being like, okay, I'm going to like not put her to the test, but like kind of see where this conversation goes. And I think from the way the conversation was heading, he was like, oh no, like, I don't think this girl is for me.
Yeah.
Based on how she reacted to him being supportive of his friend. So I honestly think it was like telling for him to be like, okay, this is not the person for me, which is so respectful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I really like Alex, as I've stated multiple times on this podcast.
Yeah, I think she wants to marry Alex.
But I feel like the way he broke up with Madison, even though I support it because I do feel like they were incompatible, it was tough to watch though still, because I'm not saying he like let her on, but I feel like he sensed she was an avoidant and still was like trying to be okay with it till the end, where he's like, I just, you know, like he starts like pulling back and like questioning, like the way he reacts to some of the things she says is like kind of bigger than it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he definitely takes the time to assess it. I could never be Alex in the way that he's like, okay, let me think about this and I'll get back to you. Because I'm such a word vomiter, I feel like, where I'm like, no, it's totally okay. Like, you know, but I appreciate that he took the time to kind of understand his own feelings with it. But again, that's part of the process of like trying to see if it's going to work with this other person. And I do think that for Madison, Alex was kind of like a feat, like almost like, oh, Alex has a little bit of reservation when it comes to me and I need to win him over, versus Mason, who was kind of all in on her. So she kind of was like, eh, this is not much of a challenge for me as Alex will be, you know?
It was kind of crazy. The moment Alex asked Madison to be his girlfriend, she's like, Mason who?
Yeah.
She was just like over, done with him.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
I feel like Mason and Madison continued to go on dates after she said no.
After Alex asked her to be his girlfriend. And then she had one last date with Mason to break up with him.
Okay. That makes more sense. Because see, this is what I mean. Like, I cannot... Everything was such a snooze fest, I hate to say it.
Yeah.
That it was so hard to follow where they are chronologically and like what the hell is happening to which couple, because they were all blending in.
I feel like the conversations during these episodes were really boring.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't know, it's hard to even get like invested in like what's happening and what the storyline is. Like, I just, look, I'm going to be honest, like, I didn't care. I was packing up boxes, doing my laundry, cooking dinner, watching these episodes, because I was like, I simply cannot just sit here and watch these episodes anymore.
And usually I love reality TV and I'm so here for like the tea, but these episodes were so dragged out. It was so long. It was a tough watch.
The only thing that got my attention was the ending of episode 6 when Taylor sits down with Daniel and she's like, did you follow and unfollow me on Instagram prior to coming on this show? And I was like, what?
I was like,
what's going on here?
Okay. My thought process on that, or my theory, Taylor did not like what Daniel looked like. And because even if that was the case and he followed and unfollowed, if she was attracted to him and really into him and had this emotional connection and the foundation that she's built with him, because, you know, she talks about all these synchronicities, the Christmas and all the things.
She would have never brought it up.
She would have never brought it up. She'd be like, oh, cool. Like, this man followed me and unfollowed me. Cool. Not a big deal. But
she's probably like, how do I get out of this? Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm going to bring up this follow and unfollow thing that happened on Instagram.
Okay. But what's crazy to me is, okay, say that he did follow and unfollow her. How would he have known that she was going to be on Love is Blind?
You know what I think that happened? Mm-hmm. Because this happened to me before filming our season. My casting director followed me on Instagram. And I was able to see other people that she followed. And I would click on them. And they would have like Chicago in their bio. Or they would be tagging Chicago as a location in a lot of their Instagram pictures. So you were able to deduce like, oh, they're based in Chicago.
Yes.
And so I was like, okay, my casting director is based in LA, so why would she be following all of these Chicago people? Mm. obviously they're potential participants for Love is Blind season 2. And then I was like, obviously they are potential participants for Love is Blind Chicago, our season. Mm. So I was going through these people's profile. Yeah. Did it take me a few days to go through all of her followers and see who Chicago based? Yes. But that's how I was able to find some of the men and women who were potential participants for a season. Mm. None of the men ended up actually making it to the final cast, but two of the women, I think it was Trisha and Shayna Bobby. So there's another woman named Shayna who was on her season. Her name was Shayna Bobby. Those two I was able to find prior to
Okay, filming. So that kind of makes a little bit more sense, because I was questioning that because I never even thought to do that. But you're right. There was some like mutual connections when the casting director, like, you know, friended me or whatever. And so that makes sense because she was like, okay, and we even had some mutual friends. And so it's a little odd to me, but you see in the trailer that they progress. So
yeah,
I'm like, okay, I'm confused.
Yeah, in the main trailer that dropped like last week, you see Taylor in a wedding dress, like trying on wedding dresses. So clearly she makes it through, like this isn't the end for them. Mm-hmm. But I totally agree. I feel like she was like, I need to get out of this without looking like the asshole because I'm not attracted to him.
Yeah. So that's why it's intriguing to me, because the conversation that we're left with on episode 6, it feels like she's almost going to break it off with him. But then you see evidence in the clips that she makes it. So apparently it's not that big of a deal.
Maybe it wasn't him that followed or unfollowed her. Yeah. And she's like being confused.
Which is odd to me.
Yeah. But yeah. Okay, here's the thing. Look. Daniel should be thankful that Taylor is a woman, because you know if it was the other way, it was like the man who wasn't attracted, mm-hmm. he'd be like, it's over. It's done. I feel like physical attraction is like a huge thing for men.
Yep.
Meanwhile, because she's a woman, this is just me just generalizing, she's going to fall in love with his personality.
Yeah. Which makes sense. I mean, it's just the nature of the game, because men are more visual and they're there.
And women are just more loving and nicer and kinder.
And emotional, you know? So Dave's reveal with Lauren was very interesting. Oh my God, when he told her, you look like a teacher, I was like, that had to be a dig, because what does he mean? And in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, this man is constantly surrounded around plastic surgery, lip filler, Botox, all of these things.
He says it in one of the episodes where he goes, Molly seems more my type because she's a dancer, and Taylor's not because she's a teacher. And I was like, what does that mean?
And then he brought that full circle to the reveal where he's like, oh yeah, she looks like a teacher. And I'm like, bro.
If looking like a teacher means that you look like you're compassionate, loving and kind, great with kids, then that's great. But I don't think that's what he meant.
No, I don't think that that's what he meant. And you could tell, like, his cheeks were so rosy. Poor guy.
I know.
I don't know. It was like an awkward reveal. Like, and there's nothing that happened that was like weird per se. But I don't know. I just got the vibe that something was off. And I just feel like Lauren deserves better than Dave.
I don't have high hopes for them. I thought all the reveals were fine. Except for Devin and Virginia. I don't know if Virginia was super nervous, but there was like some awkwardness there that I was like, what's going on? How do you feel about Devin and Virginia? Because Britt was actually my favorite person during these episodes. And so, again, I'm just like really sad.
Me too. I really think that Devin and Britt were so much more compatible just in their backgrounds, how they grew up and the connection that they had. Whereas Virginia, I feel like he went with her just because of what Brittany revealed to him about being bisexual and having that, you know, be a part of her life too. And I think it kind of freaked him out a little bit. So he went with Virginia and prioritized that connection. But it speaks volume to how she ended it with him. Like they were I think that was the best breakup we've ever seen on Love Is Blind.
I agree. And I was so proud of Britt. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Britt dodged a bullet. I liked Britt so much that I wish she found someone that was really great for her. Mm-hmm. And we could see her in more of the episodes after this initial six. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, I was like, you know what? Like, Devin does not deserve you.
Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like he has a lot of good qualities about him. I love that he's a youth basketball coach. I think he's been through a lot. Yeah. I just don't know if Virginia and him are meant to be together, though. I think they just like ended up together by default because that was his other
which
connection.
I feel like is this entire season.
I know.
Everyone just ends up together by default. No. Like, one of their like other connections goes away.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, do they even really love each other? I feel like people are only getting engaged because they either want screen time or they're just really excited to like complete the experiment versus mm-hmm. like really feeling through like, is this my person? But again, that's me just saying it as a watcher yeah. versus someone who's been in their shoes, because
we were in the same boat.
Yes. I thought I loved Shane in those pods. Looking mm-hmm. back, I don't think it was love, yeah. but I also knew like, our compatibility was like up in the air. And yeah. I just took the chance being like, I'm just going to take the chance and just see how it goes.
Exactly. And that's the same boat that I was in. Did I have a lot of concerns going into my engagement with Shake? Absolutely. But I was like, okay, you hold out for the hope and you think that the feelings that you're feeling in that bubble are so intense and true that you do want to see it through, like you said. So I'm totally with you.
I feel like the difference, though, is I do feel like some of these couples are now getting engaged solely for screen time. Mm-hmm. And that sucks, but it is what it is. That's reality TV for you. Yeah.
But you're totally right about Devin and Virginia's reveal. It was awkward. And like Virginia kind of went into her little like baby talk.
But I think she does that because she's nervous.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, like during the reveal, there's like 20 cameras swirling around you. Mm-hmm. It's an awkward time because reveals are like, I don't know the exact duration of a reveal, but it's like 20-30 minutes
tops.
And you know, you're meeting someone for the first time and you're all awkward and you're just like, I don't know, it's yeah. just like, how are you supposed to act? Yeah. Are you supposed to kiss the person but you're just seeing them for the first time?
Yeah, it's all it's high intensity, especially with so many people watching. And it is, honestly, I don't think we could ever put into words and describe the feeling that you feel when you first lay eyes on the person you've yeah. been talking to through a wall for the past 10 days. That feeling is like something no one will ever understand unless you've been through it.
Watch the reveals without any music. Like, you know, when the doors open, there's this like kind of this drum roll. For us, it's just silent. The doors just open. Like yeah. it just like boof.
And then you have just a random person that you literally have a stranger walking up to you like, trying to kiss you. And you're like, who are you? You're not a wolf.
And you have to act like you're not like grossed out yeah. by this whole thing. Like,
and then at the same time, you black out. I think a lot of people yeah. don't understand how much like memory loss there is, because I remember asking a producer after our reveal to be like, oh my gosh, what did he look like? I like completely blacked out.
Same.
Yeah. And majority of the time me and Shake were, I think, kissing. So that's probably why, which is still awkward in itself, because I'm like, oh boy, what did I just do?
And then you have the producers and production staff around you. There's probably 50 people. Yeah. I think I've already said this, but one of our wranglers, like slash handlers, she was laughing. Like, I heard her laughing yes. during my reveal. So I was like, I remember fuck. This. And it made me like more awkward.
Yeah.
Like, we were making out and I heard her laughing and I was just like, my tongue went like, like I just froze. So
I'm so dumb.
I feel like maybe it was only awkward and Virginia mm-hmm. was acting awkward yeah. because she is maybe a little bit more shy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I still don't have a lot of hope for this couple.
Yeah, I think they're going to run into some real life issues. Obviously, yeah. it's right now we're in the bubble of the pods. Like, everything is hunky-dory, sweet, and whatever. There's high hopes. But as soon as you enter that real world and you see mannerisms, you see how someone communicates with body language.
You actually
there's
see if
so many things.
You actually see if they're the person that they portrayed in the pods.
Exactly. And that too. So this is just the beginning of the truest test on this experiment. And it's going to be good.
Is it actually really going to be good?
I don't know. Because if we had 6 episodes of the pods, I don't have high hopes for the other 4 to 5 that are coming.
There's actually 7 coming.
Oh, cry. I'm going to cry.
I'm excited for the episodes that are coming out this Friday, but I don't know how I feel about the season. I hope it gets better.
Yeah.
I just feel like they must not have a lot of like interesting footage. The fact that they're focusing so much on Madison, Meg, Mason, Alex, mm-hmm. who don't even get engaged.
Yeah.
I saw that they're like a big part of the trailer of the episodes that come out this Friday. And so I don't know. I'm just like, why are we focusing on them so much? Is it because there's nothing to focus on with the other actually engaged couples?
Yeah. If you think about the engaged couples, they're kind of drama free minus Dave and Lauren. I feel like they're going to be very interesting.
Well, Ben and Sarah. Well,
Ben and Sarah too. You're totally right. But I think potentially maybe Mason and Meg kind of have a reunion at one of these little meetups or.
But do we care?
No, I don't know. Like, who knows? Maybe something will blossom there, but because they have to make it more interesting. So I'm sure the meetups will have something juicy in them. I'm hoping, because I love the meetup scenes where everyone meets each other for the first time. I'm like, ooh, it was
fun. I hated filming them, but I loved watching them as a viewer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's super fun. So we'll just have to see. What are some predictions that you have?
My predictions, Dave and Ben are going to be the villains. Mm-hmm. I think Lauren and Sarah are going to get good edits. And I think Taylor and Daniel are going to get married.
What? You think Taylor and Daniel are going to get married?
Devin and Virginia aren't going to get married. I don't know how their character arcs are going to be, but I feel like because she's a little bit more shy, like they're not going to have a lot of screen time. I don't know. It's hard to give predictions for this season because these episodes are boring. The season is boring so far.
Yeah.
And I just like don't care.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And I don't even know how we spoke for an hour.
I know. It's actually kind of wild. I feel like there, like you said at the beginning of this episode, a lot happened, but not anything happened at the same time. And I do think, okay, last couple that you didn't mention was Joey and Monica. I feel like the reveal was like cutesy and just
Joey
like.
Joey and Monica. I forgot about them.
And that's a testament to how the episodes went because they like got engaged so early on, you forget about them. But they have some drama coming up with the new trailer that they showed.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see what will happen because Monica's like, Joey just says what, you know, I want to hear or something along those lines. So that's going to be interesting because based on how golden retriever they were in the reveal, I thought that they were going
to last. She's about to be a little kitty cat.
Yeah. Exactly. So I feel like no notes. I have the same type of predictions.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I know. Pod besties, let us know what you thought about these episodes. Maybe someone has a different opinion. Maybe these were the best episodes ever in the Love is Blind franchise and we're just so jaded and, you know, like over the pod scenes. But let us know what you thought. You could DM us. You could comment on our videos, our clips on Instagram, TikTok.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday for the next recap.
Bye.